Acts chapter 20, beginning in verse 17. If you're able to, let's stand together, please, as we read God's Word. I'll read verse 17, and then you join with me on every other verse. We'll go down to verse number 27. Acts chapter number 20, verse 17. And from Miletus, he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church. When they were come to him, he said unto them, "Ye know from the first day that I came into Asia, after what manner I have been with you at all seasons, serving the Lord with all humility of mind, and with many tears and temptations, which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews. How I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. And now, behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save that the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. Now, behold, I know that ye all, among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God, shall see my face no more. Wherefore, I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men." Let's read 27 together as well, please. "For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God." May God bless the reading of His Word. And I'd like to speak to you this morning on this theme, our threefold ministry. As we examine the life of Paul once again and his concluding of his third journey, our threefold ministry. Heavenly Father, thank you for the service that we've already been able to have a part of, the singing. We've been able to have a part in praying together, seeking your will to be done. We've had a part in giving our tithes and offerings, a part in hearing how we can pray this week for the youth retreat. And I pray that we would do that faithfully. Now, Lord, as we open up your word, I ask that the Holy Spirit of God would teach us today. I pray that we would not allow the distractions of the day or of last week or of what we think is coming this week to cloud our mind and to help us to be able to consider this text and other verses of Scripture and what they mean to us. And as Pastor Nathan has prayed, if there's anyone that's not saved, that doesn't know that when they die, they will be in heaven, that today would be the day that they come to you in repentance and have faith in Jesus Christ. Whether that be someone here or someone joining us somewhere else in Vancouver on the internet or somewhere around the world, Lord, we have a great desire, and we know that your desire is even greater for people to be saved. We pray that even today someone would get saved. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for standing. We'll let you be seated. Our threefold ministry. We are now into the conclusion, as we've said for a bit, of this third missionary journey. In fact, this is, as Paul said here in our text, he is leaving Ephesus and they will see him no more. But they will hear from him, as we have a book in our Bible called the Book of Ephesians, written to the Christians at Ephesus. And so he would write to them, and he would convey more truth to them. But we will look at this today, not in the sense, not in the eyes of that it was applicable to the people of Ephesus, but we want to see today how that the Word of God in this particular verses is applicable to us. You and I, as believers, if you're saved today, and I believe this wholeheartedly, that every Christian is in the ministry. Every Christian is in the ministry. You say, "Well, I'm not a pastor." You don't have to be a pastor to be in the ministry. All of us as God's children are in the ministry. And so I believe there is truth in this, as there is for every generation. We know that God's word is quick, it's powerful. We know that it's applicable. We know that it's helpful. And we need a dose of it every day, but not just to read about history, to read about how can I live my life to better honor and glorify the Lord even today. Look at verses 36 and 38, 36 to 38. We did not read them, but I'll read them now of our chapter, Acts 20. And when he had thus spoken, he kneeled down and prayed with them all. And they all, what's the next two words? Wept sore. There is an obvious emotional attachment between the people of Ephesus and the Apostle Paul. There is an obvious great connection that only God could give through Paul to the people at Ephesus, and they're recognizing what's happening. And they fell on Paul's neck. It doesn't mean that they jumped on his neck, okay? It means that they grabbed him around the neck. They embraced him. They hugged him. And they kissed him, verse 37. Sorrowing most of all for the, look at that word, words. What words did Paul speak? The words of God. He didn't speak Paul's words. Yes, they were coming from his mouth, but these were the words that God gave Paul to give to the people. They didn't have the Bible that you have in your hand and I have in my hand today. This hadn't been written, completed yet. Yes, parts of it had been, but not the whole Bible. So the words of Paul, that they should see his face no more, and they accompanied him unto the ship. I can say this about the Apostle Paul. His example had clearly made a lasting impact. His words had made a lasting impact. His demeanor had made a lasting impact. Isn't that what we should desire? Not for our own sake, but for the glory of God, that this life in which we live, whether it's 70 or maybe an extra 10 or maybe 10 less, we have no idea, but that our life would be a life of impact for the glory of God. And it will be based on how we live our life. It will be based on the things that we say and do, and on it goes. I'm just so captivated by the example that Paul made and this great impact. By way of introduction this morning, I would like to give this summary statement about the Christian life, and I hope you'll just meditate on it as God worked it over in me, and it's things that I've heard over my life, but listen to this statement, please. The Christian life is being the person God wants me to be and allowing His Spirit to work in and through me. Being always comes before doing. The inward being working always, the inward being always affects the outward doing. Let me say that one more time. The Christian life is being the person God wants me to be and allowing His Spirit to work in and through me. Think about that. As a Christian, you have God's Spirit in you right now. Right now. And that Holy Spirit is saying, I want to do something right now in your life. I don't want to do it just for your sake. I want to do it for the sake of those whom you influence. It may not be to the degree of the Apostle Paul, and that's not what we're after. We're after, though, that influence that he had, the principles apply to us today. But it is an inward working first. Before we can be something, we've got to let God do something inside of us. So the Christian life is being the person God wants me to be, allowing His Spirit to work in and through me. Being always comes before doing. I think sometimes we get the cart before the horse. I've got to do so much for God. I've got to do so much for God. Yes, we do, but we got to be first before we do. The inward being or the working of the Spirit always affects the outward doing or the serving. As we become the person God wants us to be, I am setting and we are setting an example to those whom we influence. Hold your place in Acts 20 and go with me, please, to the first 1 Timothy chapter number 4. 1 Timothy chapter number 4. The life that we live is not just for ourselves. It's for the glory of God. It's for people around us whom God has allowed us to influence. And we all influence people. No matter what your name is, no matter what your profession is, no matter what your age is, you do influence people. We all do. And I pray God would help us to be an example. As Paul even said in 1 Timothy 4 to his young Timothy, his young son in the faith, if you will, verse 12, "Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example." Timothy, be an example of the believers. In what? Here it is. In word. How's your speech these days? How's your communication these days? With your wife, with your husband, with your children, with your coworker, with your boss who's so hard to please sometimes. But he says, no, your example is in word. It's in conversation. That means the way that we live. How are we living our life in this world? We are to live it, not we are not to be of it, but we are in it. We are as lights in this world, in conversation, in charity. Oh, I tell you, we need to sometimes just open up our Bible and go to 1 Corinthians 13 and just meditate on that charity chapter, that love chapter over and over again, and all that it describes about it. And that's one way we can be an example, as an example of love. That's what this world needs. They need to know that God loves them. Well, then he says in spirit, what's your attitude like today? Do you always have a BA? That's not a Bachelor of Arts. That's a bad attitude, okay? No, we need a little less BA in the Christian life, and we need to have a spirit of one that is contagious for the glory of God. Yes, everything in our life can be crumbling around us, but no one ever cared for you like Jesus. If you know the author of that song and you know that story, if you don't, look it up and read about it. It'll change the way that you sing it every time from here on out. I won't go into it today for time. But there's a great hymn history in the story of that song, "No One Ever Cared For Me" by Brother Charles Weigel. In faith, we're praying in 2021 to have strong faith. And Paul said to Timothy, you need to be an example in faith. And then lastly, he says in purity. Oh boy, I tell you, this world is so full of sin. This world is so full of wickedness. This world is so full of temptation, and Satan is using all of it. And yet Paul said to Timothy, you need to be an example of purity. Oh, may God raise up some Christians in Anchor Baptist Church and around our community and around our country, that we have pure minds as men and women, that we have pure hearts for the glory of God. Be an example. Then in Philippians 4:9. Again, Paul is writing, this time to the church at Philippi, and he writes this verse, "Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me." Notice that statement, "in me." Long introduction this morning, okay? Just stay with me. What are people seeing in you? Philippians 4:9, what are people seeing in you? Paul said, what you've seen in me, one little word, do. Do. And the God of peace shall be with you. So they learned it, they received it, they heard it, but most importantly, they saw it. Do as I say, not as I do. That's not a very good thing, is it, really? No, they saw it in him. They saw him do it, but they saw it in him first. 1 Peter 5:3, just let me read this one to you. "Neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being in samples to the flock." Turn to 1 Corinthians 11 quickly. 1 Corinthians 11, verse number 1. Paul is first. 1 Peter 5:3, that was obviously Peter's writing, but most of these are from the Apostle Paul himself. Look at verse 1 of chapter 11 of 1 Corinthians. "Be ye followers of me." But then he says, "even as I also am of Christ." We're talking about our threefold ministry today. And what we're giving by way of introduction here is that in the life of the Apostle Paul, not perfect, not sinless, but yet he had a great passion and desire for it to be in him first, so that his ministry would be able to go beyond him to those whom he influenced on all of these journeys that God would take him. And then I go back now to our text of Acts 20:20. We read it just a moment ago. And Paul said this, that I have showed you and taught you. I have showed you and I have taught you. As we are being what God wants us to be, on the inside, we are an example. We are an example, and I pray that it's an example for the glory of God. Now, let's take a look at these three areas of ministry from Paul's life and how they apply to our life. Here's the first one. Number one, it's in verse 19. Acts 20:19. Serving the Lord. So, number one is our ministry to God. Our ministry to God. This is the threefold ministry. Believe me, I honestly believe that if we can get these three ministries ingrained into our heart, it doesn't matter what comes our way. We might have a bump in the road. Yes, we'll have, all of us will. But these are the three ministries of our daily walk, and I really believe God will help us as we seek to follow them. Our ministry to God. Notice what he says about his ministry to God. Serving the Lord with all humility. He said with all humility. By the way, let's think about this for a moment. We're not serving Anchor Baptist Church. We're not serving Pastor Turner. We're not serving even the missionaries. We're not serving whoever you want to think of on this earth. No, the purpose of what we are inside and then what we are doing on the outside has to be first and foremost in this order, by the way. Our ministry is for God. Our service is for God. Our love and passion must be for God and God first. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33. And in our devotional reading this morning, we were touching on that as well. That yes, even our love for God would make our love for everyone else even look like hate. Truth separates. We learned yesterday, we were reminded yesterday in this class on biblical worldview that truth does divide, and it sometimes divides families. That doesn't mean we don't love those whom we disagree with, however. I think that's the missing ingredient sometimes, that we can be so passionate about what we believe that we almost don't love people who disagree with us. That's missing the whole point. We are to love anyone who disagrees with us. That doesn't mean we compromise, but that love must be in us. And so the ministry first is for the Lord. Notice what he says here. It's about humility, serving the Lord with all humility. God's word says in 1 Timothy 1:15, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Paul said, of whom I am chief. Paul said here in 1 Timothy, he said, I'm the worst of the worst. Yet God saved me. And praise God that God saved you if you're saved today. And praise God that heaven is our eternal home. This world is not our home. We're simply passing through. The songwriter said that our treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. But oh, may we serve God in humility. Paul wrote this to Philippians 4:17, the church at Philippi, not because I desire a gift, but because I desire fruit that may abound to your account. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. We're thinking about serving God, our ministry to God, our threefold ministry to God. It is a ministry of humility. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter number 3, please. 1 Corinthians chapter number 3. Who then is Paul? Look at verse 5. Who then is Paul? This is Paul writing. Who am I? We've talked about this in previous lessons. Who is Apollos? Who are we? He says, we're ministers. We're servants. By the way, that's what it is. That's what the ministry to God is. We are his servants. God, what do you want me to do with my life? I want you to do this. Okay, God. Yes, sir. That's our opportunity to give back to God. We can't serve God and be saved. That's not why we're saved, because we serve God. But we serve God because we are saved. We obey God not to be saved. Yes, we obey His command of how to be saved, but we don't obey God to be saved over and over again. No, we obey God because we are saved and we love Him. But notice what he said here. Who am I? Who is Apollos? We're ministers by whom ye believe, even as the Lord gave to every man. Look at verse 6. I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. God is the one who brings the soul to salvation. God is the one who brings the conviction. God is the one who does the work that we cannot see. In verse 7, so then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth is anything, you could say to that. But notice what he says, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. It is not of us that the church is built. It is not of us that someone gets saved. Yes, we are planting and yes, we are watering, but God gives the increase. In other words, what we see in the Apostle Paul here is a spirit of humility. What I need in my life every day is a spirit of humility. What you need in your life is a spirit of humility. If we're going to minister to God, it must come by way of humility. But notice what else Paul says comes in the ministry to the Lord, serving the Lord with all humility of mind and with many tears. Many tears. The ministry to God is humility will be seen, but also in our ministry to God, suffering will be seen. Suffering will be seen. He said many tears, but notice what he said, and temptations, which befell me. This is another word again there for the word testing. Tears and temptation, tears and testing, which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews. We have seen this time and time again in the Apostle Paul's journeys, that everybody didn't just come to him and say, whatever you say, Paul, that's what we're going to believe because we know that you are a man sent from God. Yes, many did believe, but many also rejected, and many also were adversaries, and many also wanted to kill him, and many also wanted to thwart his work, and we've seen all of that. But this is our ministry to God, and as we minister to God, these things will come. Perilous times might be yet to come even greater. 2 Timothy 3:1, perilous times shall come. And by the way, that's okay. Because we have in us the Spirit of God who can help us to navigate through. And again, this ministry is not about making a name for self or making a name for the church. It's a ministry for the Lord. Threefold ministry. Number one, our ministry to the Lord. It needs to be a humble one, and it will be a one of suffering. Someone said to me just today that God, when we serve the Lord and many times make decisions about serving the Lord, God will test those decisions. Don't think for a minute that everything that comes our way is from the devil. Don't give the devil any more credit than he needs. You do realize that God challenges and God does test us, not with evil, but God tests our faith. Do you really mean that? You know, and so many times it comes right around many decisions that we make by faith. You know, we just put in our faith promise commitment. And I've had numerous times in my life where I can look back right around missions conference, making a financial commitment to the Lord, and then this happens. And this happens. And this happens. Do you trust me? Do you trust me? Do you trust me? I'm not saying me, but God's saying, Ben, do you trust me? Oh, suffering. Suffering helps us. Suffering purges us. You know, the hotter the heat, the more pure that precious metal becomes. So the threefold ministry. Number one, our ministry to God. Then number two. Verse 20. He said, how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you. Who is you? You is the church. Number two, our ministry to the church. Please, this is the order, I believe, that Paul gives us under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God, and it's the order that we should have today. Our first ministry is to God. Our first ministry is to our loving Heavenly Father. Our first ministry is to the one who has made it possible that we could be saved. Our first ministry is to the one who, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. That's our first ministry. But then, if we love God, we will love who God loves. We will love what God loves. God loves the church. Notice verse 20. It says, showed you and have taught you. That statement, taught you, is, as we've been emphasizing this morning, being it, not just saying it. Notice the word teaching. Have taught you, a form of the word teaching. What does it mean to be teaching? Here's what it means in the tense sense of God's word: communicating divine truth. Communicating divine truth. Let me ask you a question. You just think about it in your heart. Who are you communicating divine truth to today? Who are you communicating divine truth to today? This is divine truth, right? There is no other divine truth other than the Word of God. Forever, O Lord, Thy Word is settled in heaven. So we have the opportunity as believers that we are to minister to the church by communicating divine truth. To Christians, Paul said he communicated it to Jews and to Greeks alike. He communicated it to everyone, in other words. That's what that means to us today. Who are you communicating divine truth to? Think about it this way. God is the householder. God is in charge. He's the householder. God provides the food. What is the food? Well, that's truth. This is food, is it not? This is food for your soul. This is food for my soul. If you want to starve to death in your soul, you just don't read this book and your soul's going to starve. It's going to be very difficult for you to have victory in your life when you don't partake of the Word of God. It's going to be nigh impossible for us to overcome the temptation of the enemy when it comes our way without reading and studying and meditating and hiding God's Word in our heart. But with this book in our heart and our life, we can be more than conquerors for Him that loved us. So God is the householder. He has given us His Word. Aren't you glad God gave us His Word? I mean, obviously in His foreknowledge, this was all part of the plan of God. But try to think of your life without a Bible. If you can somehow imagine it. I got a beautiful note this morning from Ross from the Philippines. You know, we get these boxes of Bibles from Beams. Beams, I can't remember what that stands for right now, but they send Bibles free. People support them. If you've used one of our Bible, if you're using one of our Bibles, God's Bible, but you know what I'm saying, and they have a little logo on the front of them, these hardback Bibles. Those were given to Anchor Baptist Church, free. Because there's people that support the Beams printing ministry. The shipping alone to get those here is $50 for a box of 8. Do the math. $6 just per Bible to ship them. People are giving to this. Can you imagine your life? And Sister Ross sent me a picture of the church over there in the Philippines because we sent one of those boxes, or was it more than one, Brother James? Do you remember? 1.5 boxes, so maybe 12 Bibles. I think a lot of the people in that church were sharing 2 Bibles. Sharing 2 Bibles. It's a church, I think she said 100 and some people. That's about our size. Can you imagine sharing 2 Bibles? I know we can find it online. They can find it online too. But there's nothing like holding a Bible in your hand. Be able to turn through the pages of God's Word. And I woke up this morning. I think I woke up at the same time, regardless of the time change. But anyway, you know how your body is. It's like a machine. A thing just wakes up at a certain time and then you know, it's time to get up and get rolling and so forth. But that was the note that I woke up to, and I just gave God the glory and said, isn't this a blessing? But imagine your life without the Bible. Imagine your home. Imagine your marriage. Imagine your child rearing. Imagine a church. Imagine everything. And yet there's people all over the world today that have yet to hold a Bible in their hand. We believe the Bible is the inspired, infallible Word of God. People have died for this book. People are still dying for this book. And I don't ever want to take it lightly, this precious book. I have so many copies of it, I'm almost ashamed to say that out loud. I have some that I just set aside because they have sentimental value. I almost feel bad saying that. I don't even use them. I just have it set aside because it has sentimental value, this Bible or this particular Bible that was given to me. The Word of God. We are stewards. God is the householder. I got off track there. God is the householder. He provides the food. This is our food. So when we have this, we lack nothing. I'm talking about spiritually speaking. But what are we? We are the stewards. The Bible refers to us as stewards. What is a steward supposed to do? A steward is supposed to take care of what he or she has been given by the householder. The householder is God. God has given us food, his word. We are the stewards of his word. And so the Bible says it this way. You've heard it this way. Well done, thou good and faithful. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. We need to be faithful with the Word of God that we've been given. We are to be the ones, as stewards, we are the ones to dispense the food, to give the food out, however we can. Maybe it's this way. This is the way we can dispense the food. Maybe it's giving to missions. We can dispense the food through our missionaries. But there's still a responsibility. Look at verse 27 of our text, please. The under-shepherd of the church, that's the pastor. Notice what Paul said, I have not shunned. And that means I have not neglected to declare unto you all the counsel of God. The under-shepherd is to dispense the whole counsel of God. But that's not saying that we are all ministers. I come back to that question. Who are you, who am I right now communicating divine truth to? The thoroughness of Paul's teaching is indicated by the letter to the Ephesians, which goes into the deep and rich things of God. He would write that letter to these same people that he's hugging and kissing and they're grieving and that he's leaving and never see him again, but they will hear from him again. By way of the book of Ephesians. Notice in verse 31, as we think of our ministry to the church, don't lose sight of these verses. Look at verse 31. Paul said, I ceased not to warn everyone night and day with what? Tears. He didn't say that with his voice, with his heart. Speaking the truth in love. I warned everyone night and day from my tears. What do you do during the night? I think he's talking about prayer there too. Praying for the people. God wakes us up in the night. I'm saying we have a ministry to the church. Notice verse 35. The Bible says, I have showed you all things. I have showed you all things. God gives us as the householder, God gives us the food, not so that we can just nourish our own self, but so that we can pass it on to others. So our ministry, it's threefold. Number one, our ministry to God. Number two, our ministry to the church. But then let's see number three, our ministry to the lost. Our ministry to the lost. Go back to verse 21. Excuse me. Our ministry to the lost. Testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks. Here's what he testified to the lost. Repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Ministry to the lost. Number three, ministry to the lost. Our first ministry is a ministry to who? God. Let's not forget it. Our ministry to God. Don't start with the lost. If you start with the lost and not with God, you will eventually burn out and not minister to the lost ever again. Start with your ministry to God. Start with your prayer closet. Start with your Bible reading. Start with your humility. Start with your brokenness over your own personal sin. That's where it starts. And then it moves in. It moves in and then to the church and then to the lost. I say, don't get these out of order. I'm guilty of getting these out of order in my life. We got to win the world to Christ. Yes, we do, but not before we minister to God. God wants the world. By the way, God wants everyone to be saved. If you're here this morning and you're not on your way to heaven, God wants you to be saved. You're here this morning and you say, Pastor Turner, I have no idea when I die. We just heard something very tragic this morning in our prayer meeting. And it really hit home to us because we even had a little scare yesterday at the house with our grandson. We learned this morning that someone within the circle of influence within our church has a connection with someone who, as far as we know, was of good health and they choked to death. Listen now. I'm not making fun. That's tragic. Even yesterday, little Carson was having some Jell-O that had grapes in it. He forgot to chew the grape. One of those grapes went down in there, and it wasn't good for a few seconds there. You see, our life, we think we've got every day. We think we've got every week. We think we've got every month. We've got this year, next year. We've got it all. But we only know, only God knows how many days I have on this earth. Only God knows how many days you have on this earth. And I'm not saying that to put fear into you. If God uses it to do that, that's between you and the Lord. I'm just saying, don't think you have tomorrow to get right with God. Paul said, I testified. That word testify means this, thorough and complete. Thorough and complete. It means he didn't leave out any details to the lost. And you know at Anchor Baptist Church, that's what we want. We want to make sure that every lost person that we meet or every lost person that comes to the church here, that they understand thoroughly and completely what the gospel is. The gospel is not getting baptized. The gospel is not good works. The gospel is not rubbing beads. The gospel is not praying so many times a day. No, the gospel is the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And Paul said it right here. Here it is. Don't miss it. Paul said it right here. Repentance toward God and faith toward the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, when we minister to the lost, which we call it evangelism, we call it soul winning, we call it whatever you want to call it, but it's getting the gospel to everyone. That's what Paul said. Jews and Greeks alike. Notice this word, repentance. Don't shy away from the word. It's a Bible word. It's an important word. This word repentance, it is a conscious act, by the way. That's why it's very important that as we share the gospel, we are not looking for a response from a parrot. You understand what I'm saying? You can teach a parrot to pray the sinner's prayer. But I don't think there's going to be any, sorry, parrot lovers. I don't think there's going to be any parrots in heaven. No matter how many parrots get saved. What I'm saying is, repentance is a conscious act. The conviction of God that comes on that individual's life, they are not responding to the deliverer of the message. They're responding to the conviction of the Holy Spirit of God. It is a conscious act. It is a change of mind. Don't miss the second part. It is a conscious act. It is a change of mind. And then thirdly, it will lead to a change of action. Conscious act. Change of mind. Oh, I can get to heaven by this or this or this. No, you can only get to heaven through Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And then it is something that brings a change of action. True salvation will bring a change to the way I live my life. That's repentance. A change of belief about heaven, but then how to get to heaven, but then a change in the way that I live my life. Then comes the faith toward Jesus Christ, the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Good. Remember, salvation is by grace through faith. Who do you know today that's lost? Don't tell me any names right now, but who do you know today that's unsaved? You know anybody that's unsaved? I think we probably all know somebody that's unsaved. We prayed for somebody this morning that's unsaved. One of our coworkers in this room, unsaved. We prayed for that individual. That's part of our ministry to the lost. Paul said, night and day with tears. Our threefold ministry. Number one, our ministry to God. Start there today. If you need a restart, if you need a jump start, if you need to get back into your ministry, you as a Christian, I'm speaking primarily to Christians right now, you as a Christian are in the ministry. How's your ministry to God? How's your ministry to His church? It's not our church. It's not my church. It's His church. How's your ministry to the... And then, how's your ministry to the Lord?